Hello and welcome to another edition of the Guardian ID podcast. Today we're continuing our series of podcasts talking about identity stanzas with the Kantara Initiative and J. Trent Adams, chair of the Kantara Initiative Leadership Council. In his day jobs, Adams is outreach specialist for the Internet Society working on trust and identity initiatives. But before we dive in, first a word from our sponsor.
Whether you are protecting a critical infrastructure or vital information, or securing a facility or border, you need to answer the same question. In the modern world of identities, how do you establish with absolute certainty that someone is who they claim to be? At CSC, we understand that the heart of identity management is the creation of trusted identities. For more information, go to csc.com/identity management. CSC, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
With the importance of establishing some sort of strong online ID growing, there's been a lot of discussion around what type of technology will be used and what standards that technology will use. With a variety of standards out there, it can be difficult to keep everything straight. The purpose of this series is to try and give listeners a guide to the different standards and the different efforts underway. Kantara is still a relatively new player in the market, but is aiming to fill an important niche. Kantara isn't a standard-setting body or an advocate of a specific technology, but it's attempting to build bridges between organizations, technologies, and regulators. Thanks for joining me today, Trent.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Trent, we kind of start out, you know, you mentioned in some of our discussion previously that, you know, Kantara is working on bridging some of the gaps between, you know, technology, regulators, and standards organizations. Can you start out by giving me an idea of how you guys are doing that, what you guys are up to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's really interesting about the Kantara Initiative is that, as you said, you know, we're pretty much non-aligned. We're not advocating for any one approach. There's a lot of identity technologies out there. And, you know, it used to be that the advocates for any one of those technologies would draw battle lines and essentially, you know, be proponents for that, of the one technology to rule them all. And slowly but surely, fortunately, folks in the space are starting to realize that that's probably not going to happen, and that each of the technologies as they were developed in a way to solve certain issues that those specific advocates had that on their plates that they needed to solve. And there's a lot of overlap. Eve Mailer, currently at PayPal and in the Kantara Initiative participant, he had a great illustration of this called the Venn of Identity. And if your listeners Googled Venn of Identity, they'd find her discussions about this online. And it was a great illustration of the fact that you have things like OpenID, SAML, info cards, and that they each do have different aspects to what they do, and at the same time they overlap pretty significantly in various ways, specifically in the center around focusing on user-managed identity. And then they have different aspects. But the interesting thing about that approach is that each of these technologies can work together. They can solve certain problems that others don't, and they can have kind of a happy harmony working out there in the market. And so what the Kantara Initiative is doing is setting up a place that enables the conversation from these multiple parties to work toward common solutions that they can't necessarily do within the confines of their own structure. So as an example, the OpenID folk, they have the OpenID Foundation. It's a really robust and energetic group of people who are working very hard to solve some RESTful identity issues, specifically in the web space, and that's what their focus is, and rightly so. But at the same time, there are very large deployments of SAML technologies that have been around for a long time, specifically, you know, a lot in Europe. A lot of governments, the United States government is an example, are using SAML as a mechanism to move identity attributes around. They're starting to explore the possibility of, you know, bringing OpenID into the discussion. Well, you know, it's hard to take that conversation to the OpenID Foundation and their working groups because that's not their focus. XAML isn't their focus. Their focus is OpenID. Similarly, OASIS is a great standards organization, has multiple standards that it manages and runs with. And, you know, they have a lot of the technologies there that they're talking about, but there's a political aspect, there's a regulatory aspect that is largely absent from their discussions that the Kampara Initiative brings to the table. So one of the things we do is we have these working groups that explore the possibility of, as an example, the Open Identity Initiative by the United States government in the GSA ICAM identity program, and bringing that conversation in and enabling the parties around the table, both the technologists as well as the regulators, to discuss how to move these things forward. And the role of Kantara is to provide identity technology advice in a non-prescriptive way so that the regulators can understand what the technology decisions or the technology inputs are to the decisions that they're making. So the Kantara Initiative is taking a role there, and in fact, we have a meeting coming up around privacy that will be held in Israel in October as a revision to the 30-year-old privacy guidelines that the OECD put out. And Kantara's role here is to say identity technologies play a very significant role in privacy protection, and Here is our advice, you know, in this space, and so that's one of the roles that the Kantara Initiative is able to fill at the global stage, which is one of the reasons why we set it up. As important as what we call the working groups and discussion groups at the Kantara Initiative are the programs that the Kantara Initiative runs, and we have a certification programs that we run against interoperability, identity assurance. And these are intended to enable enterprise and governments to come in and say, we are going to deploy this technology, we are going to employ this identity framework. Can you please certify that we are doing it accurately? And we've set up a program that helps that process flow. And so you can get more in-depth with that if you're able to talk to our program director. But the important aspect here to keep in mind is that the Kantara Initiative itself is made up of multiple work streams that happen to be in the identity space, and we're able to cross-leverage those conversations in a way that is almost unique, if not definitionally unique. It's almost unique within the space.
Well, I'll just tell our listeners to stay tuned. There will be a second part of discussions with the Kantara Initiative talking about the certification program that is going to be recorded shortly and posted. So you guys are busy. Since you're not just focused on the U.S., you're focused globally. There's got to be. I'm kind of impressed, or I'm amazed that you guys are able to even keep up with all the different issues going out there and all the different standards, all the different programs. Because I've talked to people in the U.K. already. And, you know, trying to translate different ID technologies across borders is one of their biggest challenges, and they're still trying to figure out how to do that.
I will put on my best Barnum and Bailey hat and say, of course, we are straddling all these worlds, and we're doing an amazing job. Come join us. In reality, you've hit on, you know, the truth of the matter, and that is it is very, very difficult to keep up with everything that's going on. Fortunately, the organization is made up of a lot of volunteers from just the community, because the Kantara Initiative, there's no pay-to-play requirement in the Kantara Initiative. If you want to show up and participate, you're welcome to the table. You get full voting rights. You get to show up in any of the working groups. Of course, are tiered membership fees that are associated with different voting rights, as an example, the Board of Trustees level and things like this. But at the end of the day, if you want to come in and participate, you can. You can, you know, join the discussion. And so because of that, we are able to have a lot of people around the table at any given point in time talking about the issues, and they're bringing their expertise. So they, you know, more often than not, I travel the world going to these different conferences, and it's hilarious. I showed up in Hong Kong giving a talk on user-managed identity, and I ran into people that, you know, I am on committee, virtual committees with. Same thing in all over the world, in Geneva and you know, wherever we're going, Paris and stuff. You run into these people. And what's interesting is they're all bringing their other committee work in from other organizations, so that basically we're kind of a melting pot of all of these different ideas. So we don't have to necessarily as an organization track all of these things that are going on in the space, but the participants are the ones who bring that to the table and ensure that we're not forgetting something, or we're you know, not considering a certain aspect of it. So it's definitely difficult. It's incredibly hard, and there's probably no one at the organization, at the Qatar Initiative, who you could go to and get a deep dive in everything all over the place. It's more likely that you'd need to join multiple conversations, and you'd be plugged into the multiple participants, and they would be providing you with that breadth of knowledge. So it's just the fact that we're able to have access to all of these people, this low barrier to entry to participation, and leverage all of the work that they do, you know, outside the borders of the Qatar Initiative. So it's definitely a collaborative effort.
What's the end game for Qantara? You know, what would be mission accomplished, so to speak?
That's a really good question, because it's always hard to map out in advance to the detail you'd want in a metric-driven decision that would, you know, basically pull the trigger on saying mission accomplished. And instead, what we're saying is we would call it a success if the various organizations, standards bodies, advocacy groups, regulators, were able to speak a common language and able to converse with each other and share information and build together interoperable solutions. In a perfect world, we would get there, we would call it mission complete, and we all go home. You know, in the real world, it's likely to be an ongoing issue. New technologies are popping up every 5 minutes. You know, XAuth just showed up on the radar as an example as a technology, and everyone's scrambling to see how it fits within the overall puzzle. So it doesn't look like, you know, these technologies are going to go, the technology differences are going to go away. So really what we see is, as our role, is to continually help bridge those conversations. A great example of real work that we're doing that is proving results is Paul Trevithick is leading with R.L. Bob and R.L. Bob Morgan and Mike Graves a bit of work under the Universal Login Experience Work Group. And the ULX Work Group is, as you can tell, you know, spanning these different guys. We're spanning the information card space with Paul. We're spanning the internet too, and in common space with Bob Morgan and the Jan Rain stuff with Michael Graves. You can see we've got a really wide swath there in this group. And what they're doing is bringing people together to have the conversation about what does the user's experience look like in a single sign-on environment. Because as it stands right now, there's an artificial divide between when you're logging in with one technology into one system and logging in with a different technology in a different system. Well, in reality, you can imagine a scenario where these systems could communicate very effectively back and forth behind the scenes using various technologies, but to the end user, they don't care. The end user doesn't care if when he's logging into a system, he's using OpenID or Shibboleth or information card. At the end of the day, the user just wants access to that system, to that service.
Just want it to work.
So they just want it to work. They just want to show up. They just want to provide their credential and get in. And the ULX work is I think we're on version 4 of the prototype, is to illustrate how a common user experience can be developed that to the user simply appears as if it's one kind of technology, but in the end of the day, behind the scenes, underneath the covers, it's multiple technologies all working harmoniously to some degree. So as an example, a user shows up to a site that's enabled and they click the sign in button, as they click it today and any site that they're going to, and up pops a series of options about how you want to sign in. Now, driving that is some smarts behind the scenes. It's a hybrid kind of a discovery mechanism that helps populate in an intelligent manner the options that fit. Maybe you're engaging with a system that requires a level 2 assurance or above. Well, then there's no reason to show something that doesn't satisfy a level 1 credential but not level 2. So it just doesn't show it. But at the same time, it also is able to provide federated a partner options in a clever and intuitive way. And so this work is being done by people, multiple parties across the technical divides. And are coming together to develop something that the industry as a whole can get behind and help support. So that's a very realistic scenario that I don't see ending anytime in the very near future. There's always going to be new technologies. There's always going to be a new wrinkle. And so the Qatar Initiative most likely would continue to support that type of model of conversation. So I don't see an end game anytime soon. I see it as an ongoing series of conversations.
Well, Trent, is there anything else that you want to add about the work Qatar Initiative is doing?
It would be great to have anyone who's interested in helping ensure that whatever use case they're trying to solve for was to show up at the Qatar Initiative and have their voice heard.
Great. Well, Trent, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this latest edition of the Guardian ID Podcast.
Excellent. Thank you. I really appreciate the time and helping spread the word.